Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott. And this podcast is brought to you by
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons. Make sure to tune in on September 11th.
We are talking about the episode Radio Bart with a special guest you may recognize.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright.
And actually, I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
We're so excited.
Oh, this is so good.
This was one of our favorite episodes we've ever done.
Mark your calendars. I don't know. You're probably already downloading it. What is this life?
September 11th, we are joined by, you already heard her, Nancy Cartwright. We're so excited. Please tune in.
All right. Bye.
Feral Audio.
Allie's a ghost now.
I'm a ghost. I'm not. I'm still so real. It hurts.
How are you? Real?
I'm good. I had a cup of caffeinated green tea today, so I'm bouncing off the
walls. Shit. You haven't had caffeine in how long?
I don't know. Probably a couple months. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Fuck.
Georgia.
Yeah.
It's slumber party.
With Allie and Georgia.
Yes. We're here. We're in your apartment.
We are in my apartment.
We've got snacks
galore.
We have so many snacks.
There's so many snacks.
I ate so many crackers before we started rolling, but I want to hear what you learned.
Oh, okay. I learned about a thing called microdosing.
Really?
Which I'm super stoked on and kind of want to do.
Oh my God. I think that we had the same fact this week.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, but lay it on me.
Okay, so microdosing, and they're saying a lot of working women are doing this now, like our age. It's basically taking such small amounts of LSD and like psychedelic drugs that you don't even get the effects that you expect. You just become, I read this amazing article, you just become highly concentrated, almost joyfully productive.
Why working women?
Because women like you and I can't fucking stop working. It's a lot of people in the tech world who just like have to use their brains constantly.
Okay.
And they're saying it's like Adderall, but without the side effects.
And are there such a things as bad trips, like bad micro trips?
Well, you're not tripping.
You're not tripping balls because you're a working woman. So you're tripping ovaries, number one.
Hey. No, but you're not getting to a point where you are tripping or you're going into another. You're just making your brain. Well, you know, and LSD used to be used.
Right.
For depression and anxiety.
Right. There were all kinds of things in the 60s that were like straight up. Like there've been tons of laboratory.
Right. Science stuff.
Sure. Clinical trials.
Clinical science. And so it's also supposed to help alleviate depression and anxiety, but without the side effects that pharmaceuticals have. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, that sounds dangerous. I'm on 4 pharmaceuticals regularly and then add them in as I need them for sleep and fucking other shit.
Right.
So why the fuck wouldn't I then take pure... Anyway,
we're on chemical cocktails all the time.
Like, totally.
But you know
what's real? What?
Water is a chemical. I mean, water is a chemical.
Okay.
Everything's a chemical. But
are you microdosing right now?
I'm macro.
Are you macrodosing?
I don't remember who you are, but your purple hair is wonderful. My thing that I learned was going to be about psilocybin trials.
No way.
It was going to be about mushroom trials. But then
this is the drug podcast with Allie and Georgia.
I think we both saw a headline that were like, mushrooms alleviate depression.
And I have them.
Okay.
So what did you learn?
I was going to talk a little bit about mushrooms being used as because a big study came out this week that a psychopharmacologist put out a study about like mushrooms and LSD and hallucinogens being used as like a one-time fix for like terminally ill cancer patients to deal with like the depression and demoralization and just like the existential dread of dying.
Jesus fucking Christ.
But then I saw this and then I was like, I was researching it and I was like, Georgia's probably going to have already heard of this. So then I researched this other story about Parkinson's being linked to gut microbes. And apparently mice raised in like sterile environments don't don't develop Parkinson's. Mice given the gut microbes of other Parkinson's afflicted mice tend to get Parkinson's more often, but it starts, they think that it might start with a protein in the gut and then goes into the brain and forms like a plaque. But please, if you're working on the study and you're like, you said all of that wrong, you stupid bitch,
just scream at us on Twitter.
Tweet at me. I understand that that may not have been completely factual, but yeah,
that sounds interesting. And I'm about to go to a naturopath.
Sure.
And I know that, like, my gut's the fucking...
Your gut's the ish.
I know.
All of our guts are the ish, you guys.
Let's ask our guest what her ish is.
But I'm sure she doesn't have any ish. She's so adorable.
Yeah,
maybe she has some issues. Let's hear. Okay. Yeah. This is we love this girl. We've had a long time internet crush on her. Mm-hmm. She's an actress and a comedian. You've seen her on like Parks and Rec and Adam Ruins Everything and a million other things. And she's Allison Becker.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Allison.
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Good. You didn't even ask me. I just said I'm good. And you didn't even say, how are you?
We did.
Oh, you did? Okay. I thought it was a gut reaction. Okay, good. I'm great. How are you?
Good. I just want to point out to listeners, we're all wearing pajamas. Like, this isn't a fake...
Not. This is legit.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in full pajama regalia.
Thanks.
And cute ones, too.
Thanks.
You came in, like, cute 50s, like, you're...
Yeah, they're, like, the menswear ones that are redesigned to fit a woman.
Yeah, they look adorbs.
Yeah, they do.
Thanks, guys. You look great, too.
Oh, thank you. What did you learn this week?
It's funny, because when you... when we were emailing and talking about what I learned, I normally am like factoid queen and I love reading about science stuff and like cool new restaurants and like I just love digging in and getting into weird factoids. But I think the thing I learned this week is more of an emotional lesson for myself. Not emotional. Well, I'll just tell you what it is. I don't know if you heard, but like a couple weeks ago, we elected an asshole.
I heard about that.
I don't know if you guys heard.
For what? For class president?
Yeah.
It was an actual butthole in the middle of a face, right?
Yeah, that's who we elected.
Right, and a screaming butthole.
Mm-hmm. Right, and now he's going to be like president of the United States.
There's no way. It's not true.
It's true. It's still shocking to me. So I, like many other rational human beings, went into a bit of a funk after that happened and then went from very sad to very angry. And I just kind of realized this week that out of these dark, shitty ashes are rising this beautiful sense of community that I have been lacking in my life for so long, I feel like. Because as I'm sure you guys have, I've been invited to so many like activist meetings and like volunteer groups and all these amazing things that are happening. And if you look back on history, like, that's when all, like, these beautiful things arose out of trying times.
Yeah.
Whether it was art or music or activism or community, like, these beautiful things arose out of, like, some terrible fucking times. So that's what I've learned, that we are going to turn this around in a way, in an unexpected way, and we as a people are going to change it. And I think that's even more beautiful than, in some ways, than electing someone else to do it, that we're going to do it ourselves.
I love that. Yeah, change doesn't happen unless it's needed.
Exactly.
And clearly it's needed.
Do you feel like there's been like a badass of you that's been ignited? Do you feel like...
Oh my God, yeah.
Your coals of badassery have been stoked?
Yeah, don't you guys feel that? Like, yes. It's just like, we have to. We have to speak up and say things and...
Fight.
And fight.
Fight for our rights.
To party?
To party.
Come on now, you guys. I mean, I set it up.
There's a millennial fault. That's like, I don't get that joke.
I don't know what that means. Yeah, I like that.
How has your day-to-day changed in the last 3 weeks? Also, it's really funny that the inauguration is still months away, but it feels like we're on like year 3.5 of this administration. Like, it feels like, is it almost over and it hasn't begun yet?
Are you guys going to the Million Women March, aka Women's March on Washington? They're going to do one here, too.
Oh, they are. There's because that happens in Washington, D.C., January 21st, the day after inauguration.
Yes.
Million Women, D.C. area ladies. And we have many of you, or men's.
Yeah, men are welcome.
Yeah,
totally. Get over there.
Totally. I'm going to go. D.C. booked up like crazy. I mean, first of all, it booked up that weekend because of the inauguration. But then once they released the march, Because women are on it, guys. Women are organized, and we are going to get those plane tickets. We are going to get on Kayak. We are going to book those Airbnbs. So as soon as that thing was announced, like literally within the hour, every place. And I was like, this is what happens when you tell women to get together.
That's awesome.
So I'm actually staying in Baltimore and taking the train in.
Hey, and the train sold out too now,
sold out, like, boom.
That's
like
fucking
that.
Awesome.
Happening, yeah. You guys. Y'all walk, take a Razor scooter into D.C. if you have to.
Yeah, whatever you need to do to get there.
I will pay for someone to go there. Who can't afford to go there, who needs to go there, but I can't be.
You're not a
crowd.
I'm a little scared.
A crowd like that.
I'm a little scared, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What part are you scared about?
Just my physical safety.
I am scared for your physical safety as well.
But I'm like, I want to be a part of it.
You should totally be a part. It's historical.
I'm not scared enough. Well, I'm so scared of dying poor at the age of 70 alone, but I'm not afraid enough of germs or being in a crowd full of people with guns.
I'm afraid of germs.
Afraid of germs because you're talking about microbes in the gut.
I'm not afraid of them though, because if you, number one, fecal transplants, you guys, the way of
back it up.
The future.
What is? Don't just throw that
literally
out.
Literally
like,
back it
know
up.
What that is.
It's called Back It Up, the organization for fecal transplants.
I'm going to get you in the back door here.
A fecal
transplant. Well,
this is what I'm going to guess it is.
Yeah. Guess it out.
You take someone else's poop and put it in your butt.
Boom. Slam dunk.
Why would? Okay. Next question. Follow up. Question. Why would you do that?
Like, we were just talking about like the microbiome and the gut.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of like IBS sufferers have been like shown to like 98% effective. Like, take the fecal transplant of someone who has healthy BMs, put it in someone who
because
has unhealthy.
Because then you have the antibodies of that, whatever that
you just have a different,
condition is.
It's not even antibodies. It's just different actual
poop.
Bacteria breaking down things in your shits.
Because I know about the hookworms.
Oh, hookworms.
What about hookworms?
That's a parasite. That's a whole separate ball of shit.
Well,
Max.
If you suffer from severe allergies, evidently hookworms have something in them that tells your allergies to like chill out.
I need that.
And if you have them terribly and you get hookworms, then your allergies are alleviated. And there is a way to have a sustainable amount of hookworms where they're like not fucking you up that
much.
You can
microdose on hookworms?
Yes, you can microdose on hookworms. So but you can't do it legally. So people who have hookworms will take a shit, take their hookworms out.
Ew!
And then sell them on the worldwide internet.
Ew!
And
give
then
me that
you buy them.
Give me that website.
And then you put them in your mouth, think.
No way.
I think. Or maybe you put them up your butt. I don't know. That's kind of where I like.
This seems like this is the new drug dealing. Number one, marijuana just became legal in California.
Sweet.
What we need are people to sell us tiny mushrooms, healthy poops, and just little dime bags of hookworms. That is the market,
that's
you guys.
That's it. And
it's
like
crazy.
Antidepressants you can only get in Canada or something.
No, God. Oh, are Canadian antidepressants better?
I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are too.
Would you guys ever, if your insurance didn't cover it, would you ever just like go to Tijuana and buy like a shit ton of Zoloft?
Well, do you know that it's pure Zoloft?
Yeah, I probably would.
I've heard DMT, by the way, is a real experience.
What's DMT again?
I want to put it out there and say that like I've never done anything psychedelic and I am typically very afraid of drugs, but I was reading about DMT, which is a molecule that like occurs naturally in plants, and mm-hmm. it's in your body anyway, but it's like this weird life or death molecule, and apparently you smoke it and like for 15 minutes you're like,
oh, those videos, right?
It's people have reported some crazy experiences with it anyway.
But is it is it fun?
I think they feel at one with the universe. Some of them see they go into a light and they go into a weird, like sterilized looking geometric room and they see these tiny robot elves that talk to them and say, "We're so glad you're here." People think it's like a portal to the afterlife.
Whoa.
It's very crazy.
That sounds fun. I've never done a psychedelic either. I did try one once and it didn't work.
Oh,
I think
no.
I just got duds.
Oh, no.
I was in.
That's such a disappointment.
I was in Hawaii with an ex who was not an ex at the time. And we found this Airbnb that was like a fucking treehouse in the middle of the jungle.
Yeah,
and it was like
it.
The most magical place in the world.
Aww.
And we found this guy selling shrooms and we had bought weed from him. So We trusted him. And
as you do.
He's like, I also have some shrooms. And we're like, okay. And we're like, oh, this is it. We'd never tried psychedelics before. And we like, we're in the jungle and we're in this treehouse. Ahead of time, we like texted every friend because everyone has those friends who like do mushrooms all the time.
Right.
We're like, what do we do? What should we expect? And they're like, oh, you're in nature. It's going to be amazing. We took them in a treehouse. Nothing happened except we got really farty.
No!
The most romantic, tiny place
both
in the world.
You?
We're both just like ripping ass in this beautiful treehouse.
The worst thing I've ever heard.
We broke up. No, we didn't break up there. But it was funny. It was a funny story.
There was like, it was definitely bunk. There nothing.
It was like, and well, because like we started with like, let's just take one cap and see what happens, and then we wound up like eating the whole bag, and nothing ever happened. God. We wound up just getting high because we had weed, which was fine. But like, I really wanted to experience the mushrooms.
Had you farted in front of each other before that, or were you like, this is like
a
medical
question.
Emergency?
Like, it was like, it was more just like silent.
Oh my god.
And like just like discomfort.
Oh,
but yeah, then it was becoming like an audible conversation.
What do you
like
think
this
it
is happening?
Is?
A conversation between your farts?
Yeah, between our farts.
You just let them be the ambassador.
Between like we were like, this is happening, I'm gassy, and he's like, I'm gassy.
What do you think it was?
But I've heard from people who do shrooms that it can also make you gassy even if you are tripping. So I don't know if they were, I don't feel like this guy was like trying to fuck us over. I think sometimes they're just duds.
Oh my god!
I've done duds. Once before.
I remember people saying, "Well, the thing about it is they taste like cow shit. So what you have to do is make a sandwich with peanut butter and then put them in the peanut butter sandwich." And I remember being like, "Fuck, that peanut butter sandwich sounds delicious." Like I do that with the mushrooms being like a secondary situation. But why is it that when you make a peanut butter sandwich, you guys, that's just one piece of bread and you fold it over? Mm-hmm. That's so much better than if you make. I would rather
that
eat
that sounds
two
gross
of
to
those.
Me. I think it's because you like peanut butter.
But you know when you make a sandwich and you just fold over one piece of bread,
never
I would
done
rather.
That in my life.
You've
I
never
have.
Done a sandwich where you make a
it's
half
not,
sandwich.
Listen, I have, but it's not like a half sandwich. It's more just like a sad meal.
Totally.
It's more I got one
it.
Piece of bread left.
Would you? Is anyone?
Yeah, never.
Maybe Steven's on in my camp. Would you rather eat two folded over half sandwiches than one? Two stacker cut in half.
I think because with two, it's too
before.
Many. I've too much peanut butter.
Yeah,
it's
too much peanut butter.
Fuck
it's
you.
Too much bread in one
fuck
bite.
You. There's no such thing as too much peanut butter.
Well, you're off dairy now, but have you ever had a peanut butter and jelly milkshake?
Oh my God.
Ooh. Guys, all it is
really
is some vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
A little bit of peanut butter. You think you're going to think you're going to need more peanut butter, but you're not. Just like a heaping tablespoon of peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And any kind of sherbet that's like fruit, you know, like like a raspberry or a blueberry or whatever sherbet, mix it in there. It tastes like a liquid peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Midnight snack. That was midnight snack. Hey guys, that was midnight snack.
Yeah. Do you have any other midnight snacks? Number
that
one.
That fucking delish.
That kind of milkshake sounds like the kind of milkshake you get to drink when you're going through chemo. Like, oh, we need you to gain weight. And you're like, okay, this is the one upside of having cancer is I get to eat highly caloric milkshakes.
I made when I was a kid and I was like very, very skinny for some reason. I really wanted to gain weight and I ate a peanut butter and avocado sandwich.
Oh,
it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had.
Gross. I'm sorry.
That's a lot of protein too.
Yeah.
That sounds really gross.
What, Allie, what's your, oh God, how's your snack situation with your dieting?
Yeah.
I'm on this autoimmune diet. It sounds like I'm just dieting.
You're not dieting.
I'm not, you know, but I'm on this autoimmune protocol diet. AIP, I think it's called, is what the people online call it when everyone's like, I'm on doing this. And it's not like, name a thing you like to eat and it's restricted. It's like, no, it's like, do you like quinoa? And you're like, not really. And it's like, oh, cause you can eat as much of that as you want. And you're like, go fuck yourself.
Wait, what about this? Cause this is one of my favorite snacks and I feel like it's not knocked out of any diet.
Okay.
Popcorn?
No. Can't have it.
Why not?
And no corn. And when I found this out, I almost set fire to the city of Los Angeles. Like, I almost was like, well, I guess I have to destroy Earth now. Like,
pea
so
corn.
Sorry,
dude,
buddy. I'm sorry.
Pea corn. Yeah. What do you?
Popcorn is my fucking jam. But you know what? I just keep doing.
What about those puffed chickpeas?
Oh, those are good.
Speaking of farty.
Bad.
Oh,
farty.
If you want to rip some farts in a treehouse with someone, get some chickpeas.
And dried apricots.
So what are you eating?
Oh my God. Salads.
Salads.
So much almond butter. I feel like if you cut me open, like my skin, it would just almond butter would come out. Like that's, I'm just like a Ziploc bag filled with almond butter, but I have eyes.
Is there any, because the internet is so bountiful, is there, are there any websites that are like, here are some fun recipes that you can make?
Yeah. And I'm like, guess what I'm not doing? Find coconut flour.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I'm not going through that.
You don't want to talk to anybody in that aisle.
I don't want
Where can you buy that? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
They sell it at Trader Joe's. They do sell it at Trader Joe's.
They need to have an exchange for people who buy a bag of garbanzo bean flour, use one tablespoon, and then they're like, does anyone else want to get shammed by this? Because this is disgusting.
Or like sunflower oil, and you're like, this tastes like, this is not a good alternative for fucking olive oil.
Yeah. Don't, or sometimes it tastes fine, but it doesn't have the right consistency. Right. So then you're eating like somehow a bagel that's like soupy.
Oh, God.
And you're like, what? How is this happening?
Soupy bagel.
A liquid bagel. It's like molecular gastronomy, exactly. But so much better. Do you have any midnight snacks that you're like, this is my jam, this is what
popcorn
I do?
Popcorn is my go-to because I just always have it. And I have a Whirly Pop. I'm a big fan of a Whirly Pop.
Talk to me about it.
It's just a popcorn maker. It looks old-fashioned. I keep it on the stovetop at all times. It has like a crank on it.
I was just thinking about how fucking weird it is. Like, this, it's weird to me because I'll see commercials where it's like everyone gets, you know, it's like a commercial for DirecTV and like everyone gets together with a pop bowl of popcorn. And I was like, bullshit. No one fucking makes popcorn at home.
I make, this is not hyperbole. I make popcorn every day.
That's, yeah, I would if
weird
I could.
Because it's cheap and it's not, I smoke a lot of weed, so I get like munchies at night. And then, but, and it's like, listen, I could eat a bowl of popcorn and be like, I shouldn't eat that bowl of popcorn, but it's better than eating like 2 gallons of ice cream.
Yeah. And it's also like, it's kind of, it kind of is like cereal, but dry cereal.
Yeah.
And you can go truffle and salt. It can
go. This is, I get fan. I do coconut oil. So it's a little sweet.
Okay.
And I get fancy salt. Put some Jacobson's on that shit.
Fuck.
It's so good.
You
sorry.
Can do so
I feel
much
bad.
With
I'm
it.
Telling you.
No,
you
it's
can't
a
eat
blank
it.
Canvas. This is, no, this is like reminiscing about Paris. This is like, you know what I mean? Like talking about popcorn flavors is like, I'm okay that I'm not in Paris right now because what a memory. You know?
What a memory popcorn is. That just made me feel really bad for you. Just so you know.
If I were on this diet and I were like shredded and I looked amazing.
You do look amazing.
But it's amazing. Like, amazing.
But it's just so frustrating that I'm like, I can't eat anything. And so all I'm doing is eating avocados and almond.
Yeah, I know
what
you mean.
You know what I mean?
It's shitty that like, now we have to do things for our health.
Yeah, I know.
No, it was so much easier when it was, you'd just like eat a Twix and be like, I guess I'll skip dinner.
Georgia, what about you? Are you having midnight snacks that are good?
I'm trying not to eat as much at night. So basically just wine.
Wine is your midnight snack.
Oh, it's a great snack. Red or white?
Red. Always okay. Red. Oh,
what do you
whatever.
Drink? What do you, what kind of red wine do you
dry?
Drink?
I like dry
wine. I like a dry, not sweet. I don't give a shit. I mean, I like red wine. I don't care what it is.
Do you like glug, glug, glug? It's a new, I just want to, I want there to be a wine called glug, glug, glug.
Glug, glug, glug.
It just like, doesn't I don't matter care. What it is.
They like, don't even try to put what it's not, it's a malt.
It's just like I guess a leftover. A like we didn't have enough for the last right, bottle of this one or this one. So we just so put them together.
Just great. They call those a red blend.
Yeah. Or a table wine.
Table wine. Come fuck yourself. I know what this is.
Do you get purple teeth?
No.
You don't?
You don't? Purple
no.
lips?
No.
Oh my God. I always do.
Yeah, me too. I love it when you see a couple stumbling out of a restaurant and like they both have purple lips. Yeah. And like they're going to bone. You know what I mean?
Drunk sex is the best.
They just had way too much red wine. Let them do it.
They deserve it. They're grown-ups.
Let's ask a slumber party question. How about book club? I'm curious to know what are you reading anything good?
I am. I'm reading, it's very intense, guys. The Underground Railroad.
Ooh.
It's about the Underground Railroad.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. And what is that? No, I'm just kidding. That's fucking intense.
Yeah.
It's real intense. That's all I'm going to say about it. It's real intense. I'm only like 100 pages in, but wowzer. It's like it's a lot of white guilt's coming up. It's just really, we all know what happened. We learned about it in school, but some of the descriptions of torture are so specific and intense that I find myself like reading them twice just to like, punish myself.
Do
I don't know another any other way to say
obligated
it.
As like a that's as how a
I feel obligated
person.
To be like, let me just make sure I took that in
as a privileged right. person to like
as a white person, and I feel like even just as a person not living during that time, yeah. you know what I mean,
like obligated to try to understand
yeah
what other people have gone through.
Yeah. And also like reading it now too is interesting because you're like you're you know I thought about like, well, of course, if I lived in that time and I were white, of course I would be one of the people helping slaves. Like, of course I'd have an Underground Railroad yeah. station. Of course yeah. I you assume that you would do that. But then I'm like, okay, but I live in 2016. Like, would I open my home to Syrian refugees? I don't know. Like, that's a lot of work. You know, like you think about these things and then you're like, oh fuck, am I a terrible person? Like, would I have done, like, we all say we would have and we hope we would have.
You know, yeah. We have like squirrel Jews away and our fucking.
Yeah. Systems. And then it like forces you to like examine what you're doing in your life now and be like, how could I be a better person now? Because that time is over. What did we learn from that time and what can I do now?
Mm-hmm. I think about that sometimes too, where it's like, okay, well, if I, you know, operated or, you know, had an underground refugee camp or an area for people to fucking hide away because they were going to get murdered or, you know, then, and I might get murdered for it. I'd rather get murdered for that than keep living and not have done it.
Like, that's you're gonna absolutely, die absolutely.
At some point.
But what would you?
But then you read these descriptions of torture that they would also torture.
No, just okay. Then I have a cyanide capsule.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Right? That was hard to get.
Well, you can microdose really easily.
I was going to say just die a tiny bit and then come back.
Yeah, but I agree. You would want to die knowing that you did the right thing.
Right.
That's.
But are there? Right. Think of. But I look in those. I've thought the same thing, and I've thought. Think of all of the activism that I'm not doing, or yeah. think, even just veganism. Like, we're gonna look back, next generation is gonna be like, you did fucking what? Like,
I agree with you. As a meat eater, I agree with you. Yeah, like I feel like we're gonna be like, we shouldn't have done that, guys.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I have a chicken in my refrigerator, and it's just like, we're gonna look back and be like,
is it a live chicken?
It's alive.
You should take him out.
No, it's a pet chicken. It's a pet chicken.
In your refrigerator.
His name is refrigerator. It's
he's
weird.
A real asshole, and he was just being a bitch this morning, and I was like, go to your fridge.
But I agree with you, and that's what Trump supporters really need to examine, because it's like we look at slavery now that was so obviously such a horrific part of our past, and then we look at, you know, like every step of history, we look at women's suffrage and we're like, clearly we knew, clearly the answer was let women vote. Mm-hmm. Clearly, so far, every step of the way, it was so clear what the answer was. And like, yeah. looking back at this time, it's going to be so clear that like, people who are anti-gay and anti-Muslim, that they're going to be written in history as the evil people. And like, it's so clear to us that that's yeah. happening, but not to them for some reason.
Right. I don't understand that. I don't understand why the liberal party, we're the people who are trying to include and let everyone be themselves. Like, I don't understand why that's
bad.
Why that's bad. And that's, yeah. and that's not understood by everyone.
Because
I just don't get it.
And I was talking to someone earlier today about how they got into an argument with someone about, someone was talking about how their parents were anti-gay marriage. And that person was saying, you guys are dicks. And the parents said, you're not being tolerant of our views.
Fuck.
That's
you.
That's just like,
you're not being tolerant of our intolerance, which is like,
I read an article recently.
That's like an ultimate like parent trying to give a guilt trip.
Yeah.
Like, no backing.
And then there's no arguing with that person either.
No.
That's, I don't argue. Everyone's like, why don't you talk to your parents about what dicks they are for voting for Trump? And I'm like, there's nothing you can say.
Right. Well,
I didn't talk to my mom for 2 weeks.
That's
not that long.
I just went home
because I had to see her for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Did you the subject didn't come up over Thanksgiving, did it?
No, it came up on the phone ahead of time.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was like hung up on her and I was like, because I was like, I know we agreed on things, but this is personal. Like, yeah. I'm afraid for my rights. I'm afraid for my friend's rights. Like,
yeah.
And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I'm afraid for my same-sex friends, couple friends who have kids, and like, I'm afraid for my rights as a woman. And she's like, that's not his priority. And I was like, oh my god,
how yeah.
oh
how
my god,
that
was an argument, and like everyone he's nominated is like anti-gay.
Oh, you know what my dad like, said what? I don't give a shit, I'm gonna out. He said, I was like, how are you okay with the fact that you nominated someone who has just put someone in office who's anti-Semitic? And my dad said, like, I'm not worried, I don't
I don't care about that I voted for someone who the KKK supports, just as I don't care that I would, that I voted for someone before who the Black Panther supported. And I'm like, that's not the same fucking organization.
Yeah. Really different.
And you are clearly fucking, how do you not understand how stupid you fucking sound?
Right.
It's also, I don't know if you guys have ever been to any of the Holocaust museums. God, this is getting intense, guys. Mm-hmm. But the first room in most of the Holocaust museums is like, just kind of examines the culture before the Holocaust, in that like these anti-Semitic, quote unquote, jokes and comics and caricatures of Jewish people. And it is so, it was basically like, this is how it starts.
Right.
This is how it starts, that this becomes acceptable. Mm-hmm. And we're in, as a society, with Jews and with Muslims and with many other groups, we're in that first room. We're back there. We're back in that first room, and we're heading into the second room, and it's really fucking scary.
You know, as someone who's, because you work primarily in comedy.
Yes.
And you're very funny.
Thanks. I don't feel like it right now.
No, but
let's talk more about slavery in the
No. But what do you think, comedy's role is in, number one, comedians have more leeway to say minorly offensive things and also like incredibly healing, like expose things. Like, where do you feel, like, what are you seeing in comedy these days that either perpetuates or like addresses that, you know?
It's a great question. I mean, it was hard because, as you guys know, like in the days leading up to the election and after the election, it wasn't even like jokes that comedians were tweeting. It was just like anger and sadness. But I think it's our responsibility as comedians and as creative people to address it in whatever style that is to you. You know, some people will make fun of Trump directly, and some people, it's just whatever you, I think our responsibility is to keep it at the forefront of people's attention, right, as any artist should. Like, that is not what your art has to be about, but I think it's pretty awesome if it is, if your art is advancing a dialogue.
Right. If you have a voice that you're using it. I mean, it's easy to, this is the thing about the Underground Railroad and the rise of anti-Semitism and even turning a blind eye to animal rights or misogyny. Like, all of that is, it's easy to be, to just say, someone else will deal with it. And that's like, but that is like the cultural equivalent of like not chipping in when the bill comes. You know what I mean? Like,
it's exactly what it is.
You know, it's like, if you're not actively trying to do something or use your voice in a way that combats that stuff, or at least addresses or acknowledges it, then you're the dick that put in $5 when your meal was 10.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, is it shitty that I tax and tip?
Feel that way right now, and this is going to piss people off, but like, right now, I don't give a shit about animal rights. Like, I'm fucking fine not
because there's bigger
that
fish
right
to fry.
Now.
Well, I do.
There's
I
bigger
do because of
fish
climate.
To fry. That was a pun, or not a pun.
What?
It was a double entendre.
There's bigger fish to haul out of the oceans.
Bigger club.
Right. There's not enough fish to fry because we've
like
depleted them.
You know, I'll look through those like this list of places to donate, and I'm kind of just like, if you're giving money right now, unless it's like a local thing and you're giving money to animal shelters, that, you know, that's fine. But like these bigger.
I get where you're coming from.
I just have an issue. Like, there's children also.
You're coming from a triage perspective where you're like, animal rights is a contusion or a laceration.
Other people looking at it more long term.
Right. Yeah. Like, whereas Syrian refugees in World War III is like the bullet wound in the emergency room.
Right.
I get that. But I also do think, like, in the future, we will look back at what we've done to the climate in like a weird, and again, I eat meat, and especially this diet is like mostly meat and vegetables that I'm doing, but like, so I'm a fucking asshole. but yeah, we'll look back and be like, yeah, duh, fucking
well,
climate.
Yeah, climate's a big one for me, like, too, because I'm like, all these other issues are kind of moot points.
But I'm okay with the
I'm more okay
with the end of the world. Like, I think, unfortunately, Allie, what you're saying is true and it's going to happen before we stop being racist, fucking classist pieces of shit. And so, like, I don't really care if the world ends at that point. At
because
your point,
we all suck. Because we all suck at
it's
that point,
not going right. to be like, this is the last thing we got to deal with, guys, and then we'll be fine. Right. It's not going to. So I'm okay. I don't think we fucking deserve to be here.
Like, let the ship sink.
Let it fucking sink.
Right. No, Stephen Hawking's like, humanity's got 1,000 years, assholes.
That's a lot. That's too long.
By the way, Stephen Hawking was, it's a long time. Stephen Hawking was like, is completely baffled by how the obesity epidemic and how sedentary people are. And, you know, he suffers from a debilitating disease where he's in a wheelchair. And I saw someone tweet like, oh, kind of ironic that this guy who sits all day is telling other people to move. And I was like, again, got the matches out, lit the world on fire.
Let's burn this.
Was this guy trying to make a joke?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That's another big thing with me. Like, I spend a lot of time after the election just like hate tweeting Ann Coulter. Because I'm like, please don't try and be funny.
Yeah.
Because her jokes are like so, like she was like, oh, she was body shaming some female protesters. And I just really got really upset about it. And her defense and her father's defense was like, it's a joke. It's a joke. And I was like, you know who's a professional comedian? Not Ann Coulter. So don't even try to make jokes.
You know what I have a hard time with? Like, I have a hard time with people making jokes that at this point in our society and the amount of like
hate
access you have to the internet and to what's going on, that you fucking think things are still appropriate. Like, I had to work with a dude recently who's a fucking psychologist for the LAPD. Like, this guy should know some shit. And the amount of fucking sexually harassing, derogatory jokes and stories he was telling that he thought was okay was, I was just started fucking calling, like, I just was mean to him. It was horrifying, and I couldn't believe that you think that what you're saying is okay.
Do you guys find that you are calling people out more on that shit?
Yes, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
I'm fucking so done.
Do you remember when about a year and a half ago there was the Yes All Women was coming out, and it was like people were using the hashtag to be like, like this has happened to me.
Yes.
Yeah. It is Yes All Women. And around that time is when I started getting real bitchy to like ex-boyfriends who would be saying I remember an ex-boyfriend was like, hey, do you want to get dinner? And I was like, well, you know what? One of the last times you got dinner, I paid and then you tried to come home and have sex with me. So actually, no, I know. It was just like, he's like, who is this fucking? And I was like, you know what? There's this hashtag going around.
I was on a set recently and I was like standing at Crafty eating, of course, and talking to some other actors about this this makeup book where I guess some famous, I don't know who he was, but some famous makeup artist like made famous people look like other famous people. Okay, yeah. And
Kevin O'Quall.
Yes, exactly.
And RIP.
Yes, RIP. And we were talking about one famous actress who was on there, I won't even say her name, and who none of us knew, and how they made her look like someone else. And this crew guy comes over and he like overhears us and he goes, oh, well, anyone who can make her skin look good is a savior or something like that. And I was like, excuse me? And he goes, have you ever met her, like seen her in person? And I go, no. He goes, her skin's a battlefield.
Oh, why are you commenting on this?
And the other two girls standing there just kind of like smiled and nodded and put their heads down. And I go, I'm sorry. I don't think that you should refer to another person's face as a battlefield. I think she's quite lovely, and I certainly don't think you should be saying that to three women right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, you are no Adonis. This guy, I'm only saying this because of what he said. His face was like just so, I'm not going to use the word battlefield, but it was like had a lot of marks on it and stuff. And I was just like, how dare you say this about another woman's face who you've never met?
Yeah.
Or if you have, you clearly don't know her. And like, it just made me so angry. And then I got really fired up about it to the point where I was like shaking. And then he like walked away. And then I was like, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck. Cause you know, you got to be careful on set.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
When you like stand up to people cause you don't want to lose jobs and stuff. And then the other two girls looked at me and they were like, thank you for saying that. And like, we felt like we wanted to say something. And then the rest of the day, that guy was so nice to me.
Well, good.
And I was like, sweet.
You know what I've been doing lately? In that same vein, whenever someone has a couple times since the election, I've stopped wearing as much makeup and have not given a shit.
my bra can go fuck itself. I'm just done. But I've also started correcting men when they say the word girls when they're talking about women.
Yeah.
I just fucking can't anymore with girls. No, I'm actually a woman. We're women. And my pharmacist was like, about my doc, my psychiatrist who had to give him a prescription was like, did the girl call me yet? Let me check. And I just said, woman. And Vince walked away because he was like, oh no, I can't fucking deal with this. But
it's so great.
We're women. Yeah. It's so degrading.
Did that tiny baby boy, your doctor, call with that?
Did your little child?
Did your toddler? Did he get back to you?
Call with that? I know. That happens. I mean, it's so funny in Georgia because working as a duo, we got our agents called us the girls.
The girls.
The girls. We were known as the girls forever.
Sounds like it's the fucking 1920s, right?
No, I can't.
It kind of puts us in a place. It puts us in our place.
The girls. We're
as
like
being
daughters.
Cute, sweet, nice people.
Yeah.
And that's who we're expected to be.
Well, I think one thing that this year, if nothing else, has kind of taught us is just authenticity is key. Like, it takes 2 seconds to smile and nod and try and forget something someone said. And it takes 3 hours of agonizing to speak up and then deal with the repercussions. It's much more labor intensive to speak your mind and deal with the fallout than it is to be fuck you, under your breath. But it's those kind of labors hopefully are worth it in the long
term. And I agree. Perpetuating it too. Yeah. Some guy said the word tranny to me the other day and didn't say anything, and as I walked away I was so mad at myself because
what context was it? Jesus.
He just said it was on set again and he was just we were on Hollywood Boulevard and there's just all these trannies, da, 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 and I was like, you're fucking this up. What do you know about? He was a producer and I didn't want to offend.
I know, I've been in that situation and it's and I do the same thing and then I beat myself up.
I'm
after
so mad.
But I think there's also a way to and this is on me because I'm from Jersey, so I get very easily fired up. And I'm just like,
good,
bro. But I think there's a way to be hey, just so you know, that's an offensive word.
Yeah.
And I feel uncomfortable when you use it. I would feel more comfortable if you said this around me or whatever. And it is I have been calling people out. And I'm going to say this word just to reference it, but I have been calling people out on using the word retarded a lot recently.
I am shocked people use that.
And
still,
I still hear people say it in a very colloquial way. And I'm like, just so you know, that's an offensive word. And I know people with Down syndrome and I feel uncomfortable when you use it. And it feels like they never meet. It's never met with fuck you. It's always met with oh, you're right. I shouldn't.
Yeah.
I kind of knew it when I was saying it. I mean, then again, if you were to say that in the middle of Mississippi, they might be like, get a sense of humor. I don't know.
Right.
No offense to anyone in Mississippi. I'm just saying.
No,
it's a very
fuck
red
everyone
state.
In Mississippi. No, I'm just kidding.
Any place below the Mason-Dixon is known for its sense of humor and lightheartedness. I mean, come on. But I had a boyfriend once who every once in a while would just use totally the wrong word and not know. He used conversate as though it were real, and that's okay. He was like, I miss college, and it was so nice to conversate with intelligent people. And I was like, I'm gonna say you right here real quick. But he was like, no, I was like, I hope that didn't, I told him, I was like, that's actually not really right. But he was like, I'm really glad that he's like, whenever anyone corrects me, he's like, I'm glad. Cause it's like, if you walked around with mustard on your face, you want to know.
I agree.
So
he was cool about it.
He was totally cool about it. But whenever he was like, don't let me walk around with mustard.
You should have broken up with him.
He might still be single.
To take criticism like that is and to want to grow and is a good thing, I think.
So don't let each other have, let's look at it that way. Let's not let each other have mustard on our face.
Nobody
wants mustard on their face.
If I'm saying something that's offensive, I want to know.
Yeah, me too, guys.
You got a little right here.
You got a little racism on your face.
Oh my God.
You got a little anti-Semitism.
Even as a woman, sometimes you say things that are offensive to other women and you don't know because you're okay with it or they have a different story and we have to keep that dialogue open and just be sensitive to
it. I mean, and it's hard. And I think people get offended and you just have to constantly be questioned. I wrote an email to two women today and I didn't want to write, hey, ladies, because I know one of them is gay and I don't want to, if she doesn't identify, with that, I don't want to offend her.
Do you say bitches or?
Hey, cunts. No. Hey there. I wrote, hey there.
That works.
So you overthink it, but I think overthinking it is probably better than fucking just assuming that everyone who gets offended needs to chill the fuck out.
Unless we were going back to her, unless you're offended by me calling out your racism.
Right.
Right.
Which is just so self-perpetuating.
You know what I've become better with right now? Like, I am so okay at this point in my life, and I haven't been in a long time, with people thinking I'm a fucking cunt. Like, I don't give a shit anymore. I don't care if people think I'm a fucking bitch.
I think that comes with just, like, becoming a grown-up in a great way, where we're just like, yeah, I don't really care. Like, I'm going to call you out.
Well, it's also nice to be in a place in your life to not be dependent on other people to, like,
yes, exactly. Oh,
you know.
Yeah, I'm still worried about people not liking me. I try. I mean, I'm like, I don't know. I think that you never want to be like the thorn. For me, I'm like, I never want to be the thorn in someone's side where I'm like, oh, I made their day worse. But to an extent that I could use to woman up a little bit.
Just, yeah, but
like,
did they make your day worse by?
Oh, people make my day worse all the time. But I mean, but just in general, like I think we talked about this the last podcast, where my therapist and I have a thing where I stop myself before I do something and try and figure out whether or not I'm doing it to make the other person happy or myself happy.
Yeah.
So baby steps, like to the point where I don't want to go out for a drink. I want to go for a walk.
It's tonight, a constant, with a friend. I'm like, ooh. Yeah. Life is a constant, putting yourself under the microscope, and are you doing things to be authentic? If so, right, then it's okay to do them, even if it's you telling a dude that you went out with that you don't want to go out with him because he fucking paid last time. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and he tried to fuck me, but.
And he tried to fuck you.
He was homeless at the time. I should also.
Literally
homeless, picked a restaurant near where I live because hoping he could come home to sleep and to quote, get some sucker.
What's sucker?
Your pussy?
No. Well, yes, but like some comfort and cuddling. Some sucker. S-U-C-C-O-R.
No.
Like some comfort. And I was like,
did you do it?
Fuck no. I was like, that meal just cost me $130.
No, I was like,
you like not want to bone a dude more than the fact that you just had to unexpectedly pay for their fucking like thing that they ordered.
Don't use the word sucker when you really just want me to go down on you.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. Agreed. How about you go rent a hotel room and in it you fuck yourself? Homeless man. I've dated way too many homeless.
You know, like so many people are just like fucking picturing a.
Yeah, like a man, like a very,
guys, don't say the word hobo. Hobo is offensive.
Hobo's not cool. But like someone who's like legit on Skid Row.
Yes.
Like not quite there. More just like one of those, like, I'm an actor and I'm crashing at my friend's place
in between places for a few months.
Cato Kaelin. It was Cato Kaelin.
If only. If only.
I met him yesterday.
I know you met Cato Kaelin.
Wow.
He's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Anyways, go on.
Ugh. What about your perfect day, Allison? Perfect day, start to finish. You can do whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. You can travel wherever you want.
Fuck.
Like, perfect fucking day.
Well, there's like many versions of that day.
What's the first thing that comes to mind?
I mean, two things come to mind. One of them's Hawaii and one of them's Paris. And I know those
both
sound like so... I'm on the plane for most of the day.
No. Not time travel. On this day. You can time travel.
Yeah.
My perfect day would involve, somehow being in Paris, but also being on a beach.
Mm.
It would involve good wine. It would involve better weed. It would involve like, it wouldn't necessarily involve sex, but it would involve like a really good makeout.
Aww.
Cause I feel like
even better sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like better. And then there's all this possibility ahead of it.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't know if he's going to text you.
Yeah. And it's like exciting and you're like giddy.
Is he going to touch your boob?
Oh, maybe.
Oh my God.
Food wise, I mean, I really like pierogies.
Fuck yeah, man. Starch on starch on starch.
Yeah.
Bring starch on starch on starch.
Fried up in some butter.
And a dip.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Polish?
I'm part Polish, yeah.
You are? Yeah. So someone in the family made... People don't say pierogies unless they're like...
My grandma made them.
Yeah, you have someone making them for you.
Yeah. For dessert, some mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Mm, with some raspberry ice cream? So it's a mint and peanut butter?
No, mint chocolate chip is just like, you don't need to fuck with that. It's like it's already good.
Cool.
And raspberry, I don't need like fancy like salt and straw mint chocolate chip. Like, you know, Dreyer's is like...
Right. Yeah. You can't fuck up mint chocolate chip ice cream.
You know, the mint in like Italy is like, it's like toothpaste mint. It's like not the right mint.
Yeah.
It's like too fancy.
Got it.
Fuck Italy and their yeah. gelato mints.
I'd want to get a massage on this day.
Oh yeah,
like I like painful massages.
Yeah, me too.
I like them to hurt. You do, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate when you pay money for a massage and they're just like
deep
pushing at you.
Deep fucking tissue me.
Don't yeah. come at me with like flaccid paw, like. Hitting you, barely hitting me.
Oh, fuck that. Actually, no. You know what would be my perfect day? Because I've always wanted to do this. I just could never afford it. Is do a massage in the morning. And then, you know, when you get a deep tissue and you're sore and mm-hmm. you're like, I want another massage. Then I get another massage at night.
This is the best day ever.
And a jacuzzi. Can there be a jacuzzi?
There you can be a jacuzzi. You guys want to come?
Yes. Is there Legionnaire's disease?
No Legionnaire's in the
checking. I'm just checking.
No.
I want to talk about your... the posts you put up on Instagram that I am so obsessed with.
My audition looks?
Your audition looks so blow good. My mind every time. So, thank like, you. Explain what it is to everyone.
Also on Instagram, the Allison Becker 1L.
Yes, yeah. That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
I am an actor, and I am at a weird level in my career where, like many of our friends, I don't get calls straight to offer for many things.
Right.
But I also am... lucky, #blessed, that I am not at a point where I like don't get to go out on any auditions. I'm at this weird middle ground where I go on a lot of auditions.
Yeah.
Like, several hundred a year.
Oh my God.
And several hundred a year. Cause Jesus. Yeah, doing the math. Yeah. And from commercials to movies to TV shows. And if you work in the business, you know this. If you don't, I'll tell you. You get descriptions for the character before you go in, called a breakdown. And they tell you everything from what to wear to, you know, who the character is or whatever. And the descriptions are hilarious.
Oh my God.
They are often very sexist. They are like, first of all, if it's like an executive or a doctor, it always says female doctor, female executive. Oh, whereas the male counterpart just says executive, which is like always funny. And the description of what they're looking for, some common phrases you hear in commercial descriptions are not a model.
Oh my God.
Not a model.
Never claimed to be a model, guys. Not a model. Real to character looking. That's where I fall. I fall in from real to character looking. I've learned that. And I kind of just decided to have fun with it. So I will dress as close to the description as I possibly can. And sometimes they're comically specific too. Like,
right.
mm-hmm. wear a purple nightgown. And you're like, I don't know if I have a purple nightgown. I have a lot of clothes that I keep for this specific
reason. I was going to ask you that.
I can't imagine how much money you spent at Ross.
Oh, yeah. I go to Marshall's a lot.
Buffalo Exchange.
Yeah. And I do have some key, like, very character-y pieces. Like, I have a Victorian dress that I've actually used a lot for auditions.
Holy shit.
And so I post the different looks online, and for some reason they've become... my most popular posts.
You post the look and then you post the breakdown. So it's and I'm obsessed with them because every time I read the description, then I look at the photo and I'm like,
I'm like, she nailed it. Yeah.
I would hire her. And then every single one you just somehow are able to like transform into that person. And a lot of them are like cute mom, not a model, but super hot. It's right. like everyday hot, or like it's some kind of like approachable hot.
Right. Or approachable is another one.
I love it when there'll be something like a mom who carpools, must be wearing all white with hair pulled back, slicked back, but not over the ears. And you're like,
right.
The fuck?
Yeah.
And he's saying this.
You had wanted a towel, didn't you?
I wanted a towel recently.
What?
And I wound up wearing just like a strapless romper underneath it and then putting the towel over it. But in the picture, I'd put the towel on. But yeah, they're so ridiculous. And I just kind of wanted to give people like a little glimpse into what it's like every day. Cause that's really my day, like, is running around in these weird outfits.
And it's got to also, I hear a lot that for actresses, like auditions are just horrible and torturous. And Allie, you were saying like, just, it's just, you know, and you get maybe whatever percent of them, and it kind of makes it like, it makes it more fun.
That's exactly why I started doing it, because I would get, especially those really specific ones where they would give you details. Like, I had one today and I was like, come to, it was for a newscaster type for a TV commercial. I never say the brand because I want to get the jobs.
No, never.
But they were like, newscaster wearing a red dress. And I'm like, she doesn't need to be in a red dress. Yeah, just needs to be a newscaster. Like, right. when you get to set, they're going to have a red dress there.
Yeah.
So why do I have to wear, like.
Or then you get in there and you're
you're like, I did not need to be wearing this.
I did not need to be wearing it.
And then, you know, three of the other actresses aren't wearing it.
Yeah, and they'll book it.
And they.
So normally when I would get those, I would get furious. And sometimes I would like just be like, what an idiot. Or like, who wrote this? Or I would just not go because I was like, this is making me so angry.
Yeah.
And now when I get those, I get really excited to post
my
them.
My post is going to look yeah, so good. I'm like,
oh, this is going to be a good one.
I feel like when I had a blog, I took so many more chances because I knew I could just blog about it.
Yeah.
And it would be like a great, if nothing else, it'd be a great story.
Right.
I agree.
That's so funny. Everyone should have a blog. Even if it's just not even published.
Yeah.
It's also called a diary.
No, it's a blog.
It's a story of my life.
I have a private personal blog.
Is there any, we've never done like a bucket list type of slumber party question, but is there anything that you're like, well, this is a thing I want to do, like ride in a dumb race car or like get a tattoo on your face or bungee jump or something?
Are those on your bucket list? Because
no.
Those are both terrible ideas.
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah, we need a better like a before I we need a like a pre-croak.
I want to go to India.
You do?
That's a good one.
That's all right.
I never need to do that. I'm good on that.
You don't.
You're good on India.
No, it sounds like it would be a panic attack for me the whole time. I want to see the culture.
I want to see the colors. I just want to see the, I don't know, everything's like, from what I see picture-wise, is just like everything's so intricately painted. And and I know it's dirty compared to our country.
But we live in Los Angeles.
Is that what you would have trouble with?
No, it's the amount of people.
The amount of people. Okay, yeah. You don't like the crowds.
No.
We live in LA, though. We live in a pretty dirty city.
we do. We're filthy, also filthy human beings.
Yeah we're I
haven't showered today.
I don't know.
Why would anyone?
People say that, I get embarrassed because... There are most of the days I don't shower.
I did shower, but it was the first time in a few days.
Yeah.
I don't know when I last washed my hair. I'm going to be honest with you.
Once or twice a week. I wash it.
Yeah.
But you have to put makeup on for auditions all the time. That's got to.
Yeah. That's why I have makeup on now is purely for audition, not for you guys. Sorry.
Oh,
but no.
Well, thanks. Should we do Fuck That?
Yeah. Let's do Fuck That. Fuck That is, one thing that you hate. So much. Fuck that so hard. And one thing you love so much, you would tenderly lay it down and slow bone it. It's your favorite. So we start with the things that we hate. That way we can end on a positive note because life sucks sometimes, but other times it's good. Did I save that?
Okay.
No.
Georgia, what are you fucking...
You go first.
Fucking hate.
You go first because I can never remember my Fuck That because I'm going to therapy purposely to fucking drown
so that
shit
don't.
Out. I hate two things. I'll just say the one thing I hate. I am real mad, burning mad, as my dad would say, my legs are fried mad about a Breitbart News, link. Tweeted out by the,
just that website in general,
the science, space and tech committee, the House Science Committee, tweeted out a Breitbart News link saying global temperatures plunge, icy silence from climate alarmists. And this is the fucking House Representatives Committee on Science, Space, and Technology tweeted out this saying, ooh, temperatures plunge. What do you think about that, climate alarmists? And every scientist I follow on Twitter are like one very, very sweet scientist that I followed, Phil Torres, just commented, are you fucking kidding me with this tweet, government? Who are you supposed to be serving? But it's one of those things that you're like, oh, this is how it.
I didn't say that.
How do you explain the fact that it rained yesterday then?
Fuck you.
There are ways to explain it. Anyway, so that is one thing that, typically things that I hate are like when you step in water, but you're wearing socks. But this one really fries my fucking legs. Because it's just
I mean, there's people in my family that'll be like, how do you explain global warming with such a cold winter? And I'm like, because it's climate change and we're having more extreme weather that is super fucking dangerous.
Right. Winds from the north, melting. Glaciers, tell that to the polar bears. Anyway, so that's one thing that really, I'm pretty pissed about it.
Mine's more political than yours, actually.
Ooh.
I hate when you go to a restaurant or a cafe.
Okay.
And they name, there's like a menu and it doesn't, and there's like a name of a thing like the love special and it doesn't say
what the fuck?
Like, or the something sandwich and it doesn't say what that is.
That's garbage.
There's no description of the thing.
Who does
what I mean?
This?
Like when you go to, and like there's a chalkboard with all the items on it, and it's just like,
Honestly, a chicken bake at 7-Eleven has more details.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least they tell you there's a chicken bake in there.
Yeah.
Or like a chicken bake at Costco.
Even
says
a chicken bake. I want to know what the fuck is in the chicken
bake. It's assuming... Oh, that kind of goes on to mine a little bit. Which is just, I hate people who have a sense of entitlement. Because I feel like that's like, oh, you should know what that is because you come to our restaurant all the time.
Right.
I hate when people do that with in conversation too. Like someone you haven't seen in forever and they'll be like, Joe and I are going on vacation. And I'm like, who the fuck is Joe?
Oh, God.
I haven't seen you in 3 years.
Yeah.
Say my boyfriend Joe or my friend Joe or whatever, but like,
right. It's assuming that they think that you follow them on so
exactly
closely
oh God.
On
and
oh
I'm
God.
Like,
social media.
You're not that fucking important.
Otherwise, like, I would know who Joe is.
Right. And I would never assume.
No.
Like, I'll reintroduce myself to someone.
Oh my God.
I've met 80 times.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
me too.
I know we meet a lot of people. Like, I don't. I mean, that says a lot for my own self-esteem.
I think
too,
I've introduced myself to you several times just because I'm like, I don't know if she knows who I am.
Yeah. She's probably, done it to you too.
I think we met, I don't even know if we've met in person more than, I think once.
Yeah,
in
at
Aaron
a party
Gibson
or something.
Situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have one more hate?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate it when someone is talking about a person you don't know and they use a nickname. Like, let's say you have a friend named Jeremy and someone's talking to you about them and they're like, well, Jay. And you're like, who's Jay? And they're like, Jeremy. Or like, da 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 da, Nene.
You don't know them as well as I know them.
Yeah. Nene. Who's Nene? Oh, Naomi. And you're like, fuck you. Don't call her Nene to me. I don't know her.
That's, it's a sense of, they think the world revolves around them. Everyone shouldn't, of course you know who that is.
They don't have it. They don't feel that they need to explain anything to anyone else because
or maybe they
you
wanna,
can't keep up. It's your fucking issue.
Maybe they want you to ask more questions.
I think they do. I think they do.
Her rump.
Don't care.
Her rump.
Well,
full names only.
Can I say a thing? We're going to end on your love, Allison.
Okay.
The thing I love, and it goes along with this because a lot of the people we just described have their characters in this show.
Okay.
Search Party.
No, what the hell is that?
It's so great. I heard it's so great. I haven't seen it yet.
Lydia Elias Chakra. Yes. I don't know.
You're doing great.
No, I ain't. They're looking for a missing friend. And they're searching for clues as to what happened to this girl. And the characters on it are so fucking perfect. They're like horrible in that way. They're horrible in the best way. It's so well cast. It's such a fucking entertaining show. It's funny and creepy and sad and scary. It's just
really
one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
They're looking for a lost.
A girl they knew in college goes missing. Alia Shock. Maybe.
Yes, maybe.
goes to look.
Maybe from Arrested Development.
Yeah. Goes to look for her with her two friends and her boyfriend. And they're just like the perfect characters.
Oh my God.
I talked about it on My Favorite Murder already because I'm so obsessed with it.
I have never even fucking heard of it.
You have it. You can get it on demand.
There's billboards in town.
I'm sorry.
Where is this? Los Angeles?
Yeah.
It's on TBS, but you can get it on demand. You can watch, you can fucking binge watch, and I highly recommend it.
If you're listening anywhere that's not Los Angeles, I'm going to tell you the one reason why Los Angeles is the worst city in the world.
Because you see your friends
billboards
on billboards.
For TV shows and like not for real stuff. It's like so weird.
And you see your friends on them sometimes and you're like, they're doing great.
Oh, good for them.
Nene's doing great.
Nene's doing great. Not,
you know,
my friend Jay. But the other thing is they even have things that aren't even an ad for the TV show. They're just an ad for like, can this win an Emmy?
Right.
Please.
Yeah.
Or can this get nominated for an Emmy?
Right.
Please?
And you're like, oh, no.
Consider this. You fucking idiots.
Consider sending a mailer out.
Allie, what do you love?
What do I love? I was just looking to see what I've been looking up on my Instagram. Number one, I love that the Chooch, who is the dog of
Jackie,
who is a podcast guest, now has an Instagram. Hello, I'm the Chooch. Chooch.
Oh my God, follow
she
it.
Has recently dyed Chooch entirely pink from ears to tail. Shit's fucking getting weird and it's great.
Probably Jess Rona did it too, right?
Yeah, Jess Rona, a dog groomer that
she grooms my dog, so
yeah, she does. I've seen your dog on Jess Rona's fucking Insta.
If you don't already follow Jess Rona's grooming, then get on that ASAP and also get on Hello, I'm the Chooch, because I'm thrilled to see how this pink is going to wear out. I want to get it. I want to get that done to my hair. So I'm going to say, if I were going to fuck anything, it would be Jackie's dog. I'd lay that down.
You remember when we were talking about calling people out on like bad stuff?
Yeah.
You shouldn't fuck a dog.
I should not fuck a dog. Got it.
I had to, do I have a, is it gone? Is
your
it
still my face?
I was,
right?
Allison, I wasn't going to say anything. Like, that would make me a bad friend, so I appreciate
that's
you.
That's so gross, because she's so young.
She's so young.
She's not, not until she's 18.
Well, in dog years, maybe. She's yeah. like,
that's so gross.
Allison, what do you love, love, love?
I love, love, love this thing that I did earlier this year, and I'm going to do it again next year. It's called The Unique Camp, and it is...
Oh, I've heard about this.
A four-day... experience in Big Bear where you go away for 4 days and you take like a bunch of cool classes about like
I was looking at these. Oh my god, I've been looking up yoga retreats.
Okay, this
week.
Is somewhere between this is how I'm going to explain it. It's somewhere between a corporate retreat and like a yoga retreat, but it's neither. So it's aimed at creative people and entrepreneurs and small business owners.
That's us.
But you can go if you're like working for a big business too, and it's 4 days in Big Bear and you take classes like anything from like a dance class to like how to build your brand class, and they're like 2-hour workshops, and you take like 6 of them, I think, over the course, or maybe 4, and then you listen to amazing speakers. Like, we had an author and a scientist speak, and it was so cool. And you meet amazing people, and they take away your phone.
That's what I want. I want
there.
That.
And fuck it is your face. Sorry,
really Stephen funny. Is losing
he's
his
jaw dropping. He's like, I don't understand. They take away your phone. How do you live?
I want that. Stephen's I want crying. That. I want to eat vegan. And I don't want to eat sweets or drink those
for 4 days.
Days.
They do. It is a party too.
Okay.
There are camps where you go away now. I know they're becoming popular where it's like basically a fuck fest and like for singles.
What?
There are people who are single on this trip, but it's not like, that's not why you go.
It's not ladies only.
It's not ladies only. Although because I feel like women are more attracted to this stuff, it was like 70% women. Mm-hmm. So they do need more guys there.
Oh my God. Dudes hearing this are like, signing
up. No, I'm also like, the people were also like, they all looked like walking Instagram posts. Like they were all like beautiful. And cool and had cool jobs. And
lots
you also,
of rings. Were they wearing a lot of I feel like they wear those cool stackable rings.
Yeah. Like stackable rings. Yeah. It was just so fun and so amazing. And I'm really excited because I went last year as a camper, and then they do it once a year in May. And next year they asked me to come and teach an improv workshop.
Yeah. Oh,
so I'm going to do it and go back. And I'm just really excited.
That is so cool.
Check it out. It's called Unique Camp.
Are people still signing up? Registration still open?
Yes. Registration still open.
Dude. Camp for adults, man.
It's really,
that's
and you
great.
Stay at a YMCA camp and you sleep in bunks.
Cute.
So into that.
I like that because there was part of me that like, I kind of purposely wanted to find one of the camps or one of the retreats where you're silent the whole time.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to strangers.
What's the one in Northern California?
Escalon.
Thank you. Oh. They do a silent retreat there.
I kind of want to do that because I don't want to like
have small
talk.
They also do a nude
talk.
One there. Nude
oh,
retreat.
Fuck. A nude retreat.
Well, yes. I can't be silent and nude. I have to be one or the other.
Imagine if you're
silent and are nude and chatty. Then you want to be nude.
You can
and
do
chatty.
That at any retreat you go to. You just
I do that in my home.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah. You can make it silent and nude. You can make any experience. Go to Trader Joe's and make it a silent
but
nude retreat.
Let me tell you this. I was afraid to talk to people because I'm like, it's just going to be small talk. But because your phones aren't there and every meal you like sit down with a different person, you're all of a sudden like, you don't know what to do with your hands. And then all of a sudden you're like, hi.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that I don't want to talk to fucking weird hippy dippy motherfuckers, but this sounds like a bunch of cool people that I'd want to talk to. So
and
I
made
that.
A lot of like weirdly business contacts.
I bet.
Which
I'm
is
sure.
kind of fun.
Were there marshmallows?
There were marshmallows.
Cool.
And there's also like, you know, like liquor companies donate stuff.
Just Captain
like,
Morgan, waterfall in the forest.
Jägermeister, Ice Luge.
Allie's favorite fireball.
Don't knock my fireball. If I had a little tiny sipper of fireball right now, I'm going to be that weird old aunt that always smells like cinnamon. I'm going to be like,
you still
happen.
Drink fireball?
Not
I never.
Still. She started.
I started drinking fireball like 2 years ago.
It doesn't make sense.
I know. Some millennials told me what it was. And I was like, this is delicious.
They're still drinking it?
No, I am last. I got on the boat
but
so late.
But I mean,
late.
The millennials are still, like people are still drinking. I guess people are still drinking.
Just Allie Ward.
No, just Allie and people in your hometown.
I did Goldschlager at that age.
Yes, I did too.
I remember that. But that had real gold flakes in it.
Classy.
So when
I did. He pooped them out. Hey, Allison, tell everyone where they can stalk you.
Yeah,
where
you
that
can stalk me on Instagram or Twitter at the Allison Becker. I am not on Facebook. I never have been.
Great. Yeah.
I'm that one person.
Do it.
But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Cool. Any video shows or things you want to plug?
Oh yeah. I'm on a show now as one of the guest hosts on a show on True TV called You Can Do Better. And every week we tell you how you can do something better, whether it's like drinking or dating or.
I love
fun.
That.
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
And your other Instagram, Lady Life Hacks, is
oh,
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. I have another one. Yes, like you said, Lady Life Hacks, and I just tell you cool hacks about how to make life easier.
It's really helpful. Everything from
freezing your eggs and waiting for a rich man. No, freezing water bottles and putting them in the cooler camping.
Yeah.
I went camping that weekend. I did that and I was like,
oh awesome.
That's great.
Like, yeah. People put ice in the cooler or get ice packs and stuff. And I'm like, if you freeze your water bottles and you drink them when you're done.
Yep.
Fucking Christ. Love it.
It's a great life hack site. Lady Life Hacks. So people stalk Allison Becker.
Yeah.
And her little dog too. Cause he's so cute. Digging. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you, women.
You
ladies.
Girls.
Girls.
And gentlemen.
We're at toddlers mostly. We're at, you know, we're Allie in Georgia and you can find us at Allie in Georgia places.
Yeah. Allie and Georgia on Twitter at Allie and Georgia.
Do you want to plug anything, Allie?
Innovation Nation is on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
You know, new season. We're doing it. And then Unique Sweets, we're both on Sunday nights on Cooking Channel.
Yay. Mm.
We are bad at publicizing things. So, but we're on this TV show. So guys, go watch it.
Check it out. you can find me at My Favorite Murder.
She fell asleep, guys.
Good night. Thank you guys for listening so much and being, you know, and thank you for being here, Allison.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Can you guys rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes? It helps us do stuff.
Oh, yeah. Tell your friends to listen to this that you guys can have inside jokes about this podcast.
Totally. Tell your sister.
Tell your fucking brother, too.
Do it. Thanks for listening. And thanks for being here, Allison.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.